I remember when my kids were little and I'd be reading a paper and Amy would come up and say, Daddy, and I said, yeah, honey. And she'd go, Daddy, yeah, honey, what do you need, babe? Daddy, yes, babe, what do you need? And she'd grab the paper and pull it down and grab me by the face and say, Daddy, look at me. Look at me. Attention is the greatest gift you ever give anybody. Why? Because your attention is your life.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a brand new series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how to get the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD study kit that can be used for independent Bible study or with a small group. This kit is sure to help you grow closer to the Lord. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Word of Love.
The single most important lesson that you have to learn in life is this: how to love like Jesus. Learning to love like God loves you. The whole reason God puts you on this planet is not to make money, not to retire, not to just have a lot of fun and die. God puts you here on this planet to learn how to love. And if you don't do that, you miss the point of life. He puts you here to learn how to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Otherwise, God could have just created you and taken you instantly to heaven. But he puts you on this planet for 60, 80, 100 years so you can learn how to love. And if you don't learn that, you've just missed it. Now, for 3 weeks, we've been in this series that I'm calling The 7 Greatest Words of Love, where we're looking at the 7 last statements of Jesus on the cross. And the first week, we looked at the word of forgiveness, where the first thing Jesus says from the cross is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Last week, we looked at the word of assurance, where he says to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And if you miss that message, you really need to hear it. It's an important message to how to absolutely know for sure, under no condition, no doubt, that you're going to heaven when you die. You need to hear last week's message. This week we come to the third word, which is the word of love. And it's a word that he said to his mother, Mary, who's standing at the foot of the cross as Jesus is dying, and to his best friend, John the apostle, who's standing next to his mother. Now let me set this up, a little background. Before even Jesus went to the cross, he was exhausted and fatigued from all of the blood loss in the past 24 hours. When they arrested Jesus, they took him through 6 sham trials, 3 Roman trials, 3 Jewish trials. Every one of them were illegal because it was against the law to have a trial at night, and they did them all at night just to rush him through. So he hadn't had any sleep at all. And then after they arrest him, then they torture him. They put the crown of thorns on his back. They beat him. They mock him. They spit on him. The Bible says they pulled out his beard just to be mean to him. And the Bible says they scourged him. Scourging is more than a whipping. It's a whip with 9 cat of 9 tails in the end. So every time you whip, it leaves 9 wounds. And he got 39 stripes, which means he had about 280 so scars on his body before he goes to the cross. His black back is one bloody pulp. And from the loss of sleep and the loss of blood, Jesus is stumbling up the hill. On top of that, the crowd is mocking him. All of his disciples have left him except one. They've all scattered because they're afraid they're going to be arrested. And at the cross, all of his friends aren't there. They're all gone. The only people who show up are the women. And we're not actually sure whether there were 4 or 6 of his friends and relatives who were women there, because so many of them were named Mary. And so we don't know if it's a duplication of who the Marys were. But Jesus looks down at his grieving mother and his best friend, and he quietly says the third word. Let me read it to you, John chapter 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, that's Mary, and his mother's sister, and Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, standing at the foot of the cross, and the disciple John, whom he had loved, standing nearby, he says to his mother, this is the third word from the cross, dear woman, here is your son. And he's pointing, he's motioning to John. And he said to the disciple, John, who's writing this, John won't even admit his name because he was humble about it. And he says to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple, John, who wrote this book, took care of Mary, took her into his home. Now, Mary, we know by this time, was a widow. Joseph had died a long time earlier. Mary is a widow, and tradition tells us that after Jesus died on the cross, that she lived about 12 more years. And during that 12-year period, John, the apostle, took care of Jesus' mother because of this statement. Jesus looks down from the cross and he says, mother, this is your new son. And John, this is your new mother. And you're to take care of each other. Now, this may seem like an unimportant phrase from the cross. He said, mom, here's your new son. John, this is, I want you to treat her like your mother. It may seem pretty unimportant, but Jesus never says anything unimportant.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. There's more coming up. And when you have a minute, be sure to check out PastorRick.com for tons of great resources. While you're there, go ahead and sign up for his free daily email devotional and free podcast. And follow Rick on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and had life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of the study kit to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, when Jesus saw his mother there, standing at the foot of the cross, and the disciple John, whom he had loved, standing nearby, he says to his mother, this is the third word from the cross, dear woman, here is your son. And he's pointing, he's motioning to John. And he said to the disciple, John, who's writing this, John won't even admit his name because he was humble about it. And he says to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple, John, who wrote this book, took care of Mary, took her into his home. Now, Mary, we know by this time, was a widow. Joseph had died a long time earlier. Mary is a widow, and tradition tells us that after Jesus died on the cross, that she lived about 12 more years. And during that 12-year period, John, the apostle, took care of Jesus' mother because of this statement. Jesus looks down from the cross and he says, mother, this is your new son. And John, this is your new mother. And you're to take care of each other. Now, this may seem like an unimportant phrase from the cross. He said, mom, here's your new son. John, this is, I want you to treat her like your mother. It may seem pretty unimportant, but Jesus never says anything unimportant. And what he is doing here is showing the deep concern of Jesus Christ and the deep concern of God for you when you're in pain and when others are pain. It shows God's compassion. It shows his sensitivity. It shows his attention. It shows his tenderness. It shows his love. It shows his concern. And what do we learn from this phrase? We learn two things. First, we learn what it means to love like Jesus. What it means to love like Jesus, when we fully understand what he said. And second, we learn what Jesus does when we're in pain. And when you're in pain, you can know that God does this with you. Now, I want to warn you that what I'm going to teach you this weekend, you can't possibly do on your own power. You can't love like Jesus by yourself. You don't have it in you. I don't have it in me. You can only do it by God's power. We'll come back to that at the end. But you can't love other people in the same way that God loves without God's power in you. You can't do it on your own. It's humanly impossible. But in order to learn to love like Jesus, I have to do four things. Let's write these down. Number one, the first thing, this one's pretty obvious, is if I'm going to learn to love like Jesus, I must care for my own family. I must care for my own family. Love is not just something you say, it's something you do. It's a choice. It's an action. And in the middle of all of Jesus' pain, he does three things for his mother. He notices her. He calls her out by name. He honors her. He provides for her practical needs, and he gives her emotional support. Let's look at these real quickly. These are the same things that God expects you to do with your family. Let's look at them. If I'm going to learn to love like Jesus, number one, there are three ways I do this. First, by paying attention. The first way you learn how to love like God loves you is by learning to pay attention to the people in your life, specifically, in this case, your family. Attention is one of the greatest gifts you can give your family. Attention is far more important than money. You can always get more money, but you can't get more attention. I remember when my kids were little, and I'd be reading a paper, and Amy would come up and say, "Daddy," and I said, "Yeah, honey." And she'd go, "Daddy, yeah, honey, what do you need, babe?" "Daddy, yes, babe, what do you need?" And she'd grab the paper and pull it down and grab me by the face and say, "Daddy, look at me. Look at me." Attention is the greatest gift you ever give anybody. Why? Because your attention is your life. When I give you my attention, I'm giving you my time, and my time is my life. I'm never going to get that time back. I can always get more money. I can always get other things. I can't get any more time. And if I give you my time, I've just given you a part of my life. It's the most important thing you can give somebody. It's far more important than money. Now, I just imagine this scene, kind of like in a movie, where there's this big crowd scene. Jesus is on the cross. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is down at the foot of the cross. And all of a sudden, in this giant crowd and all of the chaos and hubbub that's going on, two people's eyes lock on each other. And Jesus is looking into the eyes of his mother as his life is draining out of him. And Mary is looking into the eyes of her son as the life is draining out of her son. And there's a laser focus. And at that moment, nobody else in the crowd matters. We are locked on to each other. Locked on to each other. And that is attention. Reminds me of that photo I sent you last week. I put it in News and Views. It was this photo of Cole running up to me at the 35th anniversary. Remember, many of you remember this scene when at the end of the service in Angel Stadium, my grandson, Cole, couldn't wait anymore, and he busted out running at full speed across the infield, running at me at full speed, and I realized if I don't plant myself, he's going to knock me over. He's coming at me full on speed, and I set myself, and I'm looking straight at him, and I grab him, and when he runs into my arms, I throw him up into the air and set him back down on the table. At that moment, I couldn't care less about you. I wasn't paying attention to anybody in the stands at that moment. I was totally focused on that one child, and he was totally focused on me. That's called attention. Now, there's another word for giving attention to your family. It's called respect. If you don't pay attention to somebody, it means you don't respect them. Now, you may say you respect your wife, but you never pay attention, you don't respect her. You may say you respect your husband, but if you don't pay attention to him, you don't respect him. If you're tuning them out all the time, heard it all, been there, done that, you honor people when you pay attention. Now, Jesus, the first thing he does, the first way he shows love is by caring for his own family, and he does this by paying attention. And in all of this pain and all of this hubbub, he looks down at his mom, and he notices her. By the way, one of the reasons the women could get close, see, that none of the disciples were close to except John, because they were afraid they'd be arrested. In those days, women were treated as things. They were not even given the dignity of being treated as equals in humanity. And so no Roman soldier would be paying attention to a poor woman standing at the foot of the cross. They would be oblivious. They wouldn't even be noticing these women, because in that culture, they were in essence just property. Jesus always raised the status of women. And in this situation, he honors his mother in front of everybody else. Now, you know that Exodus 20, verse 12 says this: honor your what? Father and mother. That's not an option, friends. It's a command. And by the way, in the Ten Commandments, it's the only commandment with the promise. Now, it doesn't say honor what your father and mother have done, because they might have done some really bad things. But it says you are to honor your father and mother because God chose them. They had just the DNA to create you. They may have been a good parent, a bad parent, an indifferent parent. You maybe never knew your parent, but the Bible says you are to honor them because God used them to make you. And if God hadn't used them, you wouldn't exist. So it has nothing to do with their parenting skills. You are commanded, it's not optional, to honor your father and mother. And by the way, there's no statute of limitations on that command. It doesn't mean only honor them when you're in the fifth grade. If they're still alive, and even after they've died, you are to honor your father and mother. And so you pay attention. That's one of the ways we show love, is by paying attention. Second way that we show love like Jesus to our families is by meeting practical needs. And Jesus does that here. Here we have Jesus' last will and testament. He's meeting the practical needs of his mom. The last earthly task that Jesus Christ does when he's dying on the cross is provide for his mother. That says something pretty significant. As I said, Joseph had died, Mary's old, Mary's poor, Mary's a widow. And what does Jesus have to give to his mom? Nothing. Jesus has nothing to, he's not rich. He has no wealth. He has no home. He doesn't even have any clothes except the clothes he's wearing on his back. So what can he give his poor, aged mother? Because he doesn't have any inheritance or anything to leave to his widowed mother. What does he have to give? All he has is a friend. And he entrusts his mother to the care of his closest disciple, his closest friend. Now, it is interesting to me, by the way, I'll just throw this in here. Mary was a great woman. She was a godly woman. The Bible says she was a righteous woman, but she was not God. You just need to understand that. Jesus is on the cross, and Jesus did not pray to Mary. In fact, he knew she needed help. And he's providing for her. She's not providing for him. He's providing for her. He knew that after he died, she would need others' protection, others care, and that's why he says, John, I want you to take care of my mom. I want you to take care of my mom. Now, here's what the Bible says about meeting practical needs in your family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Show respect for widows who are really all alone. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they He's talking to the church here. He says the church should show respect to all widows and take care of them. But he says if that widow has children or grandchildren, they, those kids and grandchildren, should learn first to carry out their religious duties toward their family. Circle the phrase religious duties. Did you know that you have religious duties to your family? And in this way, in caring for the practical needs of your family, in this way, we repay their parents and grandparents, because that is what pleases God. You want to please God? Take care of your elderly father. You want to please God? Take care of your elderly mother. Now, we all know we're supposed to take care of our kids. Did you know that the Bible says you're supposed to take care of your parents? Many of you are now in that situation because people are living longer and longer. Love begins at home. Look at this next verse, 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Uh-oh. That's a powerful verse. He's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever if you're not taking care of your aged parents. Do you realize this is how you learn to love like God? Loving like God is taking care of people who can't take care of you, who can't give you anything back at that point.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you missed any part of today's message, no problem. Just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. And while you're at it, sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. And remember to click on his social media links too. Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of this study kit as a way to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You know, I like to share letters from people like you who are listening to Daily Hope. Let me read one from a guy named Lee who lives in Chicago. Dear Pastor Rick, I was introduced to Daily Hope this year, and what a blessing it's been to my life. I've listened almost every day since. You've helped me in ways that I've never been helped before. I'm divorced. I've made many mistakes in my life, yet I always have had some sort of connection with God, even though I never really truly walked the line as a true disciple. But I want to thank you for taking the time that it takes to produce Daily Hope. I'm somebody that, regardless of the distance, you're helping in far more ways than I can explain in a simple email. I'm now attending a local church. That's great. And I met a wonderful Christian woman, that's great, that God has put in my life, and I'm gaining ground on a much brighter and more powerful relationship with God. I had to share this with you and thank you for all you're doing and how you're impacting my life in positive ways as you do for so many others through Daily Hope. Thanks, Lee. Well, thank you, Lee, for writing. I want you to know your note made my day. Means a lot to me to know that these broadcasts are helping normal people out there just like you and like me. And I'm really glad you found a local church where you can meet with other believers and find support and encouragement in your walk with Christ. Daily Hope is never meant to be a replacement for a church family. Nothing can replace a church family. But one of the most powerful things you can do is to share your story with others. And you can actually share it with me if you'll write me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com with 2 R's in the middle. I would love to hear from you. And we'll share some of these testimonies on the air from time to time so that other people can be encouraged too. Thanks again for listening today. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.